What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
From CNN meteorologist Mary Gilbert and AP News, Hurricane Melissa is strengthening before landfall, is now 180 miles per hour, Category 5, and one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes in history. Such bouts of intensification are becoming more frequent as the climate warms. Melissa will be one of the strongest storms to make landfall in the Atlantic, a storm so powerful it will reshape Jamaica for years to come and could trigger a humanitarian disaster. Jamaica has never taken a hit from a Category 5, with the UN agency describing it as, quote-unquote, the storm of the century. Melissa's eyewall and its strongest winds are starting to come onshore in southern Jamaica as the storm nears landfall in the next few hours. Melissa is already responsible for 7 deaths, 3 in Jamaica, preparing for the storm, 3 in Haiti, and 1 in the Dominican Republic. The storm threatens to devastate Jamaica's infrastructure and cut off communities in Jamaica. Hours before the storm, the Jamaican government said it had done all it could to prepare as it warned of catastrophic damage. Quote, "There's no infrastructure in the region that can withstand a Category 5, Prime Minister Andrew Holness said. The question now is the speed of recovery. That's the challenge. Here is Evan Thompson, director of Jamaica's meteorological service.
What we have facing us is a major Category 5 hurricane that is over the waters of the Caribbean Sea and moving closer and closer to the mainland of Jamaica. It is some distance, over 100 miles to the south of the island at this time. It is moving now to the northwest, which would suggest that it's going to be moving away. It suggests that, but be not fooled.
And here is what a Jamaican resident had to say about the storm.
It's not a joke. It is very serious, guys. And it is going to be something different. The triggers, we think, will be astronomical. Yeah, they will be hard to digest when this is over.
Discuss is tough like iron, a reggae artist from Kingston, Jamaica, currently visiting California. She also works with the Constitutional Reform Committee in Jamaica doing community support work. Good morning.
Good rising. How are you?
I'm good, sister, and thank you for joining us. Before I get into the details of my questions, I just want to get your personal reaction. That's your home, that's your country. Imagine you've got friends and families there, your level of concern.
Yes, I'm extremely concerned. It's kind of like being here and watching everybody and talking to everybody from over here. It's like giving me a lot of anxiety myself over here, just waiting to see what's happening. And, you know, the storm has been moving so slowly, so they keep kind of saying, oh, it's coming on Saturday, it's coming on Sunday, it's coming on Monday, it's coming on Tuesday. And I've been talking to a lot of people in Jamaica, you know, on a daily, and there's been a lot of rain. It's really a challenging situation because they already have a lot of floods. When we're in Jamaica on a regular day, it can flood out within, you know, if it rains for 20 minutes, the street starts to flood. So without anywhere for all this water to go, it's like, it's just very, you know, intimidating. And I'm just praying for everyone. I hope that, you know, it wouldn't be so much rain that people would drown and stuff like that. You know, actually a lot of people who live in the islands can't swim.
I know.
You know? So I'm just hoping that it won't be, you know, that kind of a situation where the water is flooding up through everybody's house and everywhere. But we're already seeing some really crazy images coming out, and the storm hasn't even hit yet. So praying for everybody, you know, keeping in touch with my family and my friends, and, you know, just hoping that my home will be okay when I get back home, you know.
When you're talking to your people in Jamaica about how they're preparing, so I've got a friend of mine, like all of her family, their house, the infrastructure will not withstand what is coming. It was already taken out by hurricane before. So they've all gone to another place, right, that's a little bit more secure. So, and they're all together, which is a good thing. What are you hearing about how your people are preparing?
Well, with that, the challenge is that a lot of people have, you know, homes and structures that are not, like, structurally sound. You know, it's a It's an island nation. People put up two little stuff with zinc fence. I was just talking to my brethren. He is a furniture maker. He has a furniture shop. But the roof is just zinc. You know, they just make a frame and they just have zinc on the roof. So that can just lift off. He was there telling me he wanted to put some stones on top of it. And I'm wondering, you know, any kind of roof like that, that's a zinc roof. And there's lots of people who have a zinc roof on their home as well. You know what I mean? So those kind of roofs are easily prone to just lifting off and blowing away. And then it's a lot. The people are mostly still in their house, though. The people are mostly home. There's not really anywhere to go.
To go, yeah.
Nowhere to really, you could go to, I see a list of shelters. You know, there's one on the list that's near my home, Rollington Town Primary School. They say it's a shelter. But if my house was flooded, if where I lived was flooded that much that I couldn't go inside of my home, I don't think I could go inside of those places either, you know? And then there's also the landslides and the hills. Anybody who lives anywhere that's a little bit remote, there can be landslides easily and rocks and debris and things falling on the road, making the roads impassable. And, you know, then lights and water. I've been in Jamaica when there was a storm that was like not anywhere near this strong. And then when we had no water one time for like a month after, there was no water in the pipe. So it was, you know, these things are like human essentials, you know what I mean? So when it starts to mess with the people's ability to get the essentials that they need for life, it's, you know, it can be very catastrophic. There's people who, you know, are sick. There's people who are in hospitals and, you know, people who need to go to hospitals and different stuff, and there's no light. And, you know, it just, all of the food supply will be definitely disrupted. I was just talking to my friend. He was saying there won't be any ackee. Everybody's trying to pick every last fruit that's possible. There will be no ackee. There will be no banana. There will be no oranges or anything for months now. They will have to grow back and regrow, you know. So food will definitely be an issue. Water, bread, you know, when people go and buy everything out of the store, the store is not necessarily going to reopen immediately, and you know what I mean? So, yeah, it can be a very rocky situation. But one thing about Jamaican people are very resilient, and, you know, they know how to have a good time, you know what I mean? And they're going to have fun regardless of however many categories the storm wants to be. They're going to party, have a good time. We see the people playing dominoes in the flood. We see them, you know, playing football, dancing and partying. So, you know, they're going to make the best of it regardless. But it is a really serious situation. And, you know, we're all bracing, just kind of waiting to see the results today. You know, my virgin said it was supposed to be around 10:30 that the storm actually touched the island. So that's in about the next 15 minutes. So, you know, we're just sending up the prayers, you know, hoping for it to somehow just dissipate and not be so bad. We don't want to see the destruction of, you know, life and people's homes and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's hard for people to understand that haven't spent time in the Caribbean. A, the topography, right? What it looks like. B, the infrastructure, you know, so instantly when I heard the storm, the types of homes that people build, I think it's hard for Americans with our privilege to imagine that the level of poverty and not having the resources. One of the things that I was going to get to the resilience of the Jamaican people towards the end, so we'll circle back to that. There was a meme, it feels silly to talk about now, but it was a meme that had Jamaica talking to the storm. And Jamaica telling the storm, you ain't know that we run the Caribbean, and the storm asking Jamaica for permission to pass. And so that is the energy that I'm putting out towards Jamaica. And I know a lot of us are. The next place my head went, though, sis, was there's also a lot of foreign companies in Jamaica that make a lot of money.
Yes.
Off of tourists.
Yeah.
Right.
And Jamaicans.
And Jamaicans. And pay them poverty wages for them to make their millions, yeah?
Uber. there's, you know what I mean? Airbnb, there's Uber, there's, you know, TGIF, there's Krispy Kreme donuts, there's Popeye's chicken, there's Shell gas station, there's Texaco, you know what I mean? There's a Starbucks, you know, there's a lot of international companies and, you know, things that we used to seeing here in America. In Jamaica, we have Payless shoes in Jamaica.
Yeah. 22. Payless everywhere. So my question for you, KFC, they're more than Popeyes. But my question to you is...
Okay, I'm love a KFC. How
can right? Listen, I can't lie. The best KFC is in the Caribbean. But
chicken, but that's what I've heard from everybody.
Yeah, yeah, facts. What is there? I know the answer to the question, but I want you to talk to about my listeners. What is their obligation? Like, if a foreign company is doing business in Jamaica and yanking resources out of the country, when something like this happens, what is their obligation to help rebuild? Or is it an opportunity for them to further exploit the economic situation in Jamaica and what we call disaster capitalism?
Yeah, I don't have any knowledge of these people having any responsibility to have to do anything. And I don't really have any particular memory of them doing anything either. There are a couple, you know, the companies, now that you mentioned that, that's very interesting, because even the companies that are in Jamaica who I feel like might be more responsive with something like this is probably like Digicel, you know, Digicel, community support work. And yes, that's the one of the main phone companies in Jamaica, for anybody who doesn't know. But they are, I think the company is from Ireland, and they have it in many different Caribbean countries, the same phone service provider. But I've known them throughout the years to do lots of community, investment into different projects and people and stuff like that. I've never seen, you know, Starbucks doing anything or Burger King or any of these companies. When they tried to give out some free chicken at KFC, everybody lost their mind and some people got trampled and, you know, they were fighting to get a free piece of chicken from KFC. So I don't think they're used to that. These foreign companies, I have no knowledge of them doing anything that like helps anybody. They're just there to sell you something. I don't know them to do anything helpful, you know.
I'm not one to tell another people how to organize, but that might be something to think about in terms of demands, right? If you're going to be here and suck resources and pay our people poverty wages while you rake in millions, you know, you have obligation then back to the people. What about obligations from governments around the world? Like when Jamaica has had disasters before, who shows up?
I think that it's a lot of private, you know, people would show up. Private people, sorry about that, somebody was just calling.
Okay.
Private people will show up, and I'm already seeing a lot of, different networks of people who are saying we are going to be, they're accepting donations already ahead of time. Because also, something we have to consider is that the banking system is very delicate. You know, it can also, on a regular day, be very hard to find money in an ATM that works in Jamaica. So then the light situation and the, you know, the people might not be able to access money in their accounts, like literally for some time, you know what I mean? But in terms of the local companies and international, I think, I see a lot of private response. There is some more international response. We've seen some posts on social media asking for chefs that they're sending down people to try to do some humanitarian, like cooking, a massive cooking for people. And they were looking for chefs in Jamaica who could work with them. So, you know, people are aware and are mobilizing, but I don't really see much, official things. I see, you know, different people and organizations, groups like how even, you know, CRC or somebody like that might see.
Community Ready Corps for my they know who they are, but yeah, it was the Community Ready Corps, Brother Terhaak and them, yeah.
Those people like that. And I've seen, you know, Caribbean Business Association, Caribbean Business, Caribiz, they keep the Caribbean Music Awards and stuff like that. So people who are, you know, massive pillars in the Caribbean community are responding and like mobilizing already, but I don't really see much official response yet. I've seen, you know, stuff from the government just saying different places where they have shelters and that certain communities really needed to evacuate the places that are right on the shore. You know, people do live right on the shore, and the different fishing villages like Raytown. I saw a video of them busing the people out of Raytown. And, you know, there's elders, people who cannot walk. You know, there was a lady who was an amputee who was begging for help, you know. So they don't have all that much social programs in Jamaica, like, you know, where people would be getting a lot of assistance. I mean, some people do get some checks and some assistance there, but it's not really like people don't have like food stamps or different stuff like that. So some people, if you're in a situation where, say, you work at one of these international, you work at Starbucks, I don't think those people make much. You know, the minimum wage in Jamaica is about 20 to 25 US dollars per day. You know what I mean? So these people might be working and making, you know, $30 or $40 for the entire day. The grocery store is not all that cheap. You know what I mean? Things are expensive. So if people are getting as much as they can get and they just don't really make that much, and this storm is taking days and days to come, and then the impact is set to be so catastrophic that, you know, they were saying that it's going to cause complete structural failure in the island, which just sounds very intimidating, you know, especially when, as we said, a lot of people have a zinc roof or structures that are not necessarily the most sound and secure structures, you know. So it's very intimidating, you know. But what can we do? There's nothing we can do. That's the most frightening part. We have to just try to be prepared. People are looking for stuff like batteries and battery packs and stuff they could keep, you know, try to keep a little light, keep a little phone to charge and stuff like that. But other than food and the essentials, water, shelter, I hope that, you know, everyone will be protected or get to someplace safe. If they're in a place that's not all that structurally sound, I hope that they're really taking it seriously and going to, you know, someplace that's more secure.
What about your community, sister, the reggae community? What kind of response? I mean, Jamaica is full of musicians.
Well, we've been seeing a lot of messages from everybody online telling everybody, you know, please be safe and take it seriously. I think there is like also a tendency for people to kind of be like, oh, storm, we've been through a storm, you know, this yeah. is a storm. But, you know, it does seem like it's way stronger than they're saying it's the storm of the century and all these things that sound very frightening, you know. So I hope that everyone's taking it seriously. But the messages that we're hearing from the different artists, you know, are just, you know, preserve your life and take good care of yourself and, you know, spread the love and, you know, spread the joy. Same way we got a voice note from Sizzla Kalonji yesterday, and he was sending a message to Ras Ceylon. Actually, Ras Ceylon played it for me, and he was saying, this is, you know, mankind has their time, and, you know, this is nature's time, and there's nothing that anyone can do. And we have, you know, but he was very joyful and sound very, you know, upful. And he said, I love the storm. You know what I mean? So, you know, that people are always going to be resilient, and they have an amazing ability to turn a bad situation or a dangerous situation or a threatening situation into, you know, the calmest, most relaxed vibe that you could imagine. So I feel like people over here are even more nervous than people there. The people in America are calling me nonstop. Did you see this? Did you see that? People in Jamaica are like, yeah, we're good. It's some rain. Yeah. My best friend just texted me before I had this interview. Some rain and breeze. You know, and I'm like, well, they said it didn't really come yet, you know, so we're used to some rain and some breeze, but just praying, you know, that it won't be too awful.
Yeah. Well, sister, and prayers up, and bless up for your day, and thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Respect. Give thanks and praise.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.